is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
With everything we've been dealing with for the past 12 months of pandemic, this subject really hasn't come up very often, but we wanted to tackle it today. A look at Oregon's public employees retirement system and what might lie ahead for the state budget up the road. Alan Alley with us, business person, entrepreneur, former candidate for governor and for secretary of state, joins us as well. Alan, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, thanks for having me.
So, first of all, maybe give people a brief explanation, if they're not familiar, with how the public employees retirement system works in Oregon.
Sure. So, this was created 60 years ago or so. It is a pension plan that was meant to augment what you would get from Social Security. So, kind of as a little addition to Social Security to incentivize people to work for the state. Over time, it has grown and grown and grown and grown, and it is now the primary pension plan for people that work for the state. The key here is it's what's called a defined benefit plan, and what that means is the state promises to pay employees a certain percentage of their salary when they retire based on their number of years of service. So it's a promise to pay something in the future, as opposed to what most people are familiar with now are 401k type plans that the private sector uses mostly. And that's where you put in some money and then your employer puts in some money. That money's invested and grows over time, but there's no promise of the future. And the fundamental problem here is with the public employee retirement system, PERS, the promise has gotten enormously large, and they haven't fully funded the promise over the last 50 or 60 years. And we're now left holding the bag. And the size of that bag is enormous and somewhat complicated to exactly figure out what it is. But that's what I've spent a lot of time doing. Basically, since I ran for state treasurer in 2010.
So what's the level of liability that taxpayers are on the hook for right now?
Well, hold on to your seats. It is about $238 billion over the next 30 years. And that is the checks that the state is going to have to write. And this is state, local governments. Teachers are in PERS, police and firemen are in PERS, all state employees, many county employees also. $238 billion over the next 30 years is what those checks are going to have to be, about over a quarter of $1 trillion.
So, I mean, that is a definitely a very large issue, and it's been talked about over the years. But it appears from your study then that it's the condition or what is likely to happen up the road is getting worse?
Yeah, so a couple of things. The way they do this is they make a calculation. So they say, okay, we're going to have to pay $238 billion over the next 30 years. How much money should we have today to put in investments if those investments accrued a rate of return of 7.2% compounded? How much money today would we have that if you just have those investments, we could cover that whole $238 billion? And the answer to that is about $82 billion or so. And we currently have about $60 billion set aside. So if we were going to be, quote, fully funded, we need $22 to $25 billion right now today, which we don't have. And to put it in perspective, the entire general fund for a biennium is about $25 billion.
What got your attention about this issue and has caused you to spend so much time studying it?
Well, you know, I'm a business guy. I'm an engineer by training, and I talked to people when I was when I was running for treasurer, and they'd say $80 billion and an unfunded liability of $25 billion and assets of $66 billion and, you know, this many retirees, and they'd throw all these numbers around, and it was really confusing. So because I felt like I'd be responsible for this, I sat down and I actually wrote out all the numbers and put together spreadsheets and tried to make it all make sense. And finally, the light bulb came on for me, and I did have it make sense. And the liability that we have is enormous. It's beyond the imagination of most people. In fact, it's so large, people say, oh, Alan, that can't be true. And I have several presentations I put together. I think you've seen the articles that I've written, and also I did a little tutorial on Facebook where I use the government's numbers. I don't make any of this up. I don't do any extrapolations or anything else. I just use the government's numbers and then explain what these numbers mean to people. So the liability is much, much greater than anybody ever thought. I think it is the single largest threat to the state that we have. It makes any other threat that you'd come up with pale in comparison.
So as we go through time and this becomes more of an issue, what kind of impact will it have on the rest of the state budget?
So, you know, I've been wondering about this, that do we have to start bouncing checks? You know, do you have to get to the point where you can't make the payments before people take this seriously? In the series that I wrote three articles, one on the liability, and that is, why did this monstrous thing get created based on the promises that we made to people that we haven't paid for, basically? The second one is, what assets do we have? How much money do we have? And then where do we have those assets invested to pay for it? And then the third piece of this is some kind of out of the box ideas about how we could tackle this problem, because my position is, look, we made this commitment. We hired people to go to Salem to represent us that made this commitment. We're on the hook for the commitment. The courts have said you're on the hook for the commitment. You have to pay the retirees these benefits. You don't have to pay new hires these benefits going forward. But we have to come up with a solution to pay the retirees and to not bankrupt the state and in the process bankrupt the taxpayers.
So do you look at this as being very much a bipartisan problem?
Well, it certainly is a bipartisan problem. The biggest problem is this is something that the public employee unions will defend to the death. And the public employee unions largely have financed the Democratic candidates. So it becomes a partisan problem because of how it got created, fundamentally. So the simple solution, just to jump to the conclusion, all new hires go on a 401k-type plan. They've already done it at OHSU. In fact, I think TriMet has done this too, where the employee puts in some money, the employer puts in some money, it's invested. At the end, when you retire, you get that money. That's the simplest solution. We still have this giant promise that we've made that we've got to work through, but at least you cap the liability. It's like cutting up the credit card, right? That the first step to getting debt-free is you have to stop using the credit card. In this case, we have to stop the old program that creates this massive unfunded liability, move to something that you have to pay for. It's basically paying cash for everything, and then we can address the liability.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County, looking at the public employees retirement system in Oregon. Alan Alley with us. Back in 2 minutes, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lakeside, Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson at 1. State Representative Gary Leaf on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program. We're talking about the public employees retirement system in Oregon. Business person, entrepreneur, and former political candidate, as well as radio host of his own, Alan Alley, on with us. Alan, as you've put these articles together and done presentations, what kind of response are you hearing from people about the PERS issue?
So the response has been overwhelming. People have said, you know, thank you for laying it out. Thank you for taking something as complex as this and putting it in terms that I can understand. It is a massively complex issue. And you couple massive complexity with massive size, and it becomes very unwieldy. But I think I've laid out sort of a roadmap to where we got here, and then some ideas about things that we could do going forward to solve it. And these aren't the only solutions, but it's ways to make people think about solutions. And I'm sure the best solutions will come from people outside of me, but maybe I can help stimulate that discussion.
So before we get into those solutions, is this problem something that's similarly being faced by other states, other levels of government, other places?
Yeah, it is. And generally, this is a sweeping generalization, not true in all cases, but it's a bigger problem in blue states where public employee unions have elected officials and they're protecting sort of a legacy system that they had in place. And it's generally better in red states where they have been more fiscally focused on this. Some of the blue states like Rhode Island have taken it on head on and made some really good moves and strides in the right direction. Some blue states like Illinois, it's a complete disaster. And I don't know how they're going to dig out of it. They were saved by, remarkably enough, they get saved by the stock market performing well, because the assets to pay these liabilities are largely invested in the stock market. So if the stock market does well, the problem becomes less.
Now, you've been talking about this for a number of years. What's your thoughts about what the legislature has done or hasn't done about this?
They've nibbled around the edges. Whenever it becomes an issue that people like yourself talk about, or it hits the front page of the newspaper, they freak out a little bit and they change something. For example, there are some PERS retirees, Mike Bellotti, for example. I think Mike is pulling down $600,000 a year in PERS benefits. That became a flashpoint. You know, that's something that in an ad would look terrible. So the legislature modified the benefits so that it could never be more than about $200,000 or $275,000, I think, is the max now. So they eliminate the Bellotti headline. They didn't really change much because there's hardly anybody that makes that much money in state government anyway. So optically, they've changed something that takes a little heat off of them, but it didn't really fundamentally change the problem. So I'd say every couple of years, they come up with something that says, hey, look what we've done to solve the PERS problem, but they haven't addressed the steaming pile of poo in the middle of the room, and that is the real size of the liability. They haven't reduced that.
So go more in depth about your ideas for solutions.
Sure. So a couple of ideas. One, the first one I call, it's like war bonds or PERS bonds. When I ran for treasurer and I talked to people, they weren't mad that other people had PERS. They were mad because they didn't have PERS. They didn't have a guaranteed income. And at first I thought, well, that's a silly thing. And then I said, no, maybe we could do something like that. So the first one is, the state could issue bonds. I'll call them PERS bonds. And individuals can buy them. They would guarantee a 5% rate of return and make it double tax-free. No state taxes, no federal taxes. The state invests that money, and generally they make about 7.2% on that money. So they're paying you 5%. that 2.2% spread that they make, they can use to start working down the giant liabilities. So people get a guaranteed investment that's guaranteed by the state of Oregon, that's backed by the faith and confidence of the state of Oregon, which is really backed by themselves. It's backed by the taxpayers. And you get a 5% double tax-free rate of return, which is about 7.5% pre-tax. So that's a nice return for people, and I think that would be attractive. It's not easy to do it. There's probably some legislation that has to be done to do it, but it's absolutely something that that could be done.
So that's one step. What other ideas do you have?
So another one is a little bit out of the box. Again, when I ran for governor, I realized that there were certain agencies, like the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, for example, where their budget rises just because people buy more alcohol and marijuana. It isn't because they need it. It just does. So I came up with this idea of taxing the government, where you could tax the Liquor Control Commission to move money from the Liquor Control Commission, let's say, to education, if you wanted to. So in this case, it would be a surcharge on all of government. So the state budget is about $100 billion a year, and that's up 68% from 2013 to 2015. So put a 3% surcharge on the state budget, you'd raise $3 billion in a biennium. Now, they would have to reprioritize things that they do, but again, this is a very big deal. You'd get $3 billion a biennium, and you'd use that to pay down the liability as well. So that would be another way of doing it. You wouldn't have to raise taxes to do that. You're just reprioritizing resources within the state.
For the legislature, though, would you get them to agree to that?
So you at least need a Republican, not because it's a partisan thing, but because of the political gravitational forces, you'd at least need a Republican treasurer to have the megaphone to do this. Ideally, you could have a Republican governor. If you had Republican majority in the legislature, they could do it. They're never going to do it on their own. So I think a Republican treasurer could get it done. There's enough, because you're in charge of the money and you have a big enough megaphone. A Republican governor certainly could get something like this done if they said this is the number one, number two, number three priority to do it.
Wow. It sounds like a rather daunting task. What, as you talk to lawmakers or talk to people in state government, how receptive are they to some of these ideas?
So I think the ideas are ideas that they like. The other one that I think is really interesting is what I call the Oregon Peace Corps, where you take young people right out of high school. They go into the government. They work as government employees, but they don't have a pension. Instead of giving them a pension, what you do is allow them to earn credits to get a higher education in an Oregon university system. University, so that they could work for 4 years or 5 years or whatever and earn enough credits that they could get a university education for free from Oregon. And rather than give them this pension, you give them the education up front, which would really help. So I think people generally like these ideas. What they first have to get to is, it's like admitting that you're addicted to something. It's like, we have $250 billion liability we have to pay. And we, frankly, don't have enough gross domestic product in the state. There's not enough tax base in the state to pay it. Now, if you interview a Democrat on this, they'll say, oh, Alan's an alarmist. It's no problem. We solved it a long time ago. Well, they didn't. They have to say that, because if they admit that they were culpable, that they actually participated in this, they couldn't get reelected. So, but the good news is, I actually think there's a way through it. It's going to take a little bit of effort, but I think it's absolutely possible.
Alan Alley with us today, and we'll get links up to the articles you've written recently with our podcast at 541radio.com. Alan, thanks for being on.
Great. Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.